And now it's my pleasure to introduce to you the speaker of today. You heard at conference time that President David O. McKay had been a member of the Quorum of the Twelve for a short number of 50 years. If I recall correctly, he was ordained an apostle in April of 1906. Our speaker this morning, who is the president of the Quorum of the Twelve, was ordained an apostle the following October. So when October of this year arrives, he will have served as a member of the Quorum of the Twelve for some 50 years. And this service has been not of a nominal nature. He is the author of a great number of books and has been exceedingly diligent in the performance of his duties. The last 17 years, he has been the chairman of the executive committee of the Board of Trustees of this university, and as such has had more to do with policies of this university than any other general authority. I'm proud to serve under him, appreciate his kindness and his consideration at all times, and we're honored today to have him as our devotional speaker, President Joseph Fielding Smith.
President Wilkinson, members of the faculty and student body of the Brigham Young University, I wish to make one correction. I was ordained on the 7th day of April, 1910. I'm going to attempt something that I'm not used to, and that is to give a set talk. I avoid them as often as I can. I have chosen for my subject the purpose of mortal life. It is a fundamental doctrine of the church that man is the offspring of God, that he is literally the father of our spirits. Our Savior taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Moreover, he constantly taught them that his Father was their Father. And to Mary, after his resurrection, he said, "Go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." In the book of Hebrews, it is written, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of our spirits and live?" Again, in the vision given to Joseph Smith and Sidney Rigdon in the Kirtland Temple, it is written, "And now, after the many testimonies which have been given of him, this is the testimony last of all which we give of him, that he lives. For we saw him even on the right hand of God, and we heard the voice bearing record that he is the only begotten of the Father, that by him and through him and of him the worlds are and were created, and the inhabitants thereof are begotten sons and daughters unto God. It is a fundamental doctrine of the church based on divine revelation that we are dual personalities. That is to say, we are combined spirits and bodies of flesh and bones. And as spirit children of God, we dwelt in his presence before the foundation of the earth was laid. However, in the spirit existence, it was impossible for us to receive a fullness of joy and obtain the ultimate destiny which our Father had prepared for us. To reach this goal, it was necessary that we have bodies as tabernacles in which our spirit bodies could dwell. And thus we became perfect souls. To bring to pass our complete salvation and give us needed experience that could not be obtained in the world of spirits, preparation was made for us to come to this earth where we obtain bodies of flesh and bones and pass through the short period of mortality where we are tried and proved to see if we will be true to all divine commandments in the mortal state, walking by faith and not by sight. In the spirit existence, we walk by sight in the divine presence of our eternal Father. In mortal life, which was prepared for us, we are walking by faith through the guidance of divine revelation, coming through chosen prophets, and receiving commandments from the Lord by which we are to be governed. The mortal life is probationary, where we are tested and tried under conditions of temptation from evil sources and encouraged and guided by divine assistance and revelation. Lehi, when instructing his son Jacob, said, "And after Adam and Eve had partaken of the forbidden fruit, they were driven out of the Garden of Eden to till the earth. And the days of the children of men were prolonged according to the will of God, that they might repent while in the flesh. Wherefore, their state became a state of probation, and their time was lengthened, according to the commandments which the Lord God gave unto the children of men. For he gave commandments that all men must repent, for he showed unto all men that they were lost because of the transgression of their parents. And now, behold, if Adam had not transgressed, he would not have fallen. But he would have remained in the Garden of Eden, and all things which were created must have remained in the same state in which they were after they were created, and they must have remained forever and had no end." Paul, also writing to the Corinthian saints, said, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in man, for all things are yours. The Lord also taught us in this generation the nature of the probationary state, and that we are here to be tried, and through obedience to the gospel, we shall receive the eternal reward and exaltation in his presence. Speaking of Adam's transgression, which brought death and banishment from the presence of the Father, the Lord said, through the prophet Joseph Smith, to the members of the church, But behold, I say unto you that I, the Lord God, gave unto Adam and unto his seed that they should not die as to the temporal death, until I, the Lord God, should send forth angels to declare unto them repentance and redemption through faith on the name of mine only begotten Son. And thus did I, the Lord God, appoint unto man the days of his probation, that by his natural death he might be raised in immortality unto eternal life, even as many as would believe, and they that believe not unto eternal damnation. For they cannot be redeemed from their spiritual fall, because they repent not. For they love darkness rather than light, and their deeds are evil. And they receive their wages of whom they list to obey. From these passages, we learn that we are here on probation, but we are not left to walk in darkness, but we have been given divine assistance if we are willing to receive it, so that the judgments which shall be meted out will be just and every man judged according to his works. One glorious doctrine of the gospel is that every soul shall have a chance. The thousands upon thousands who have died without an opportunity to hear the gospel and without the privilege of accepting its ordinances are not to be overlooked. Here is where the work of salvation for the dead comes in. In the justice of God, every soul is to have the opportunity of repentance and acceptance of the gospel truth. Otherwise, there could be no justice in the plan of salvation, and our eternal Father would be unjust. But he is not unjust. And the mercies of the atonement of Jesus Christ reaches out to embrace all and restore them to immortal life and give to all who will repent and receive the truth the privilege of eternal life. In a revelation to the prophet Joseph, the Lord said, all who have died without a knowledge of this gospel, who would have received it if they had been permitted to tarry, shall be heirs of the celestial kingdom of God. Also all that shall die henceforth without a knowledge of it, who would have received it with all their hearts, shall be heirs of that kingdom. For I, the Lord, will judge all men according to their works, according to the desires of their hearts. We learn then that this life is a proving ground. And while this period is very short, it is the most vital one in our entire existence. Premortal, mortal, or eternal life to come. We see that those who will not repent and who reject the plan of salvation cannot be redeemed from their banishment or spiritual fall. In a moment of temptation or rebellion against divine commandment, one may lose all or a great part of divine approbation and righteous reward. A man may cut himself off from ever obtaining the blessings of eternal life. It should be remembered that those who enter the next life are divided into two classes. Those who obtain immortality, which is the power to live forever, but banished from the presence of the Eternal Father. And those who obtain eternal life, which will take them back into the presence of the Father and the Son to dwell in immortal glory. Every soul will receive a reward based on merit. All who obey the gospel, receiving all of its covenants, will eventually receive the fullness of joy in the celestial kingdom. In mortal life, spirit and body are not inseparably connected, and there will come the separation in death. But in the resurrection, they will not be separated, never to be divided. And the righteous will go on to become creators, for the Father has promised all who are faithful and true that they shall become his sons and his daughters, receiving the fullness of glory in his kingdom. Then shall they be gods, because they have no end. Therefore shall they be from everlasting, because they continue. Then shall they be above all, because all things are subject unto them. Then shall they be gods, because they have all power, and the angels are subject to them. John, the beloved apostle, writing to members of the church in his day, said, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. President Brigham Young has said, our mortal existence is a school of experience. For this purpose we came to the earth, as well as to obtain our bodies of flesh and bones. Again, President Young said, the Lord created you and me for the purpose of becoming gods like unto himself. When we have been proved in our present capacity and have been faithful with all things he puts in our possession, how many will become thus privileged? Those who honor the Father and the Son, those who receive the Holy Ghost and magnify their calling and are found pure and holy, they shall be crowned in the presence of the Father and the Son. We are all the children of our common Father, who has placed us on the earth to prove ourselves, to govern, control, educate, and sanctify ourselves, body and spirit, unto him, according to his will and pleasure. When all that class of spirits designed to take bodies upon this earth have done so, then will come the winding up scene of this particular department of the work of God on the earth. Then will come the glorification of the earth, for it is decreed that it too shall be cleansed and become a celestial body, and it shall be sanctified, for it too shall die and obtain the resurrection and be quickened, that the righteous may inherit it. It is written, for after it hath filled the measure of its creation, it shall be crowned with glory, even with the presence of God the Father, that bodies who are of the celestial kingdom may possess it forever and ever. For this intent was it made and created, and for this intent are they sanctified. I thank you.